could have a Bible study in their home. If they had to, they could have a Bible study at work. If they had to, they could minister wherever they're at, and that's my responsibility and job in these days. And I'm to do this as quickly as possible, and we're going to talk today about the fact you have to take the authority of your life. You have to take the authority of your own life. God's not going to do it. You have to do it. And I'm going to talk about that today. And one of the things you have to do, you have to give Him room in your life. When God saves you, God gives you everything in your spirit. Everything that He is in your spirit. But the point is, you have to bring that out of your spirit into your soul, into your life. And how do we do that? Well, we have to make room for Him. One day we were driving down the road, Grace and I, and we were looking for garage sales, and we saw this garage with the door open, and that garage was filled from floor to ceiling, entirely filled up with things. And Grace said, "Is that a garage sale?" And I said, "Well, it should be. I don't know if it is or not, but it should be one." And the point was, that garage was not being used for what had been built for. You understand? That you couldn't get a car in that garage. They had to park out in the driveway because the whole garage is full of stuff. Now, I'm not picking on anybody because I see some looks on faces, and I won't ask for a show of hands. But the point is, the garage is filled with things that was not designed to be filled with. And therefore, it wouldn't be used for the right purpose. And that's exactly the thing that I'm talking about today. You have to make room in your soul for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the work of the Holy Spirit, for what God wants to do. And so, you know, there's a scripture in Revelation that says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him." And that's exactly what we're talking about. Once you get saved, God starts knocking on the door of your soul. It's where your mind, your will, your emotions, and all of those things are. And God's knocking on the door of your soul, and He says, "I want to come in, and I want to be your life." But the problem is, with many of us, our lives are filled with so much stuff and so many things, there's no room for God. And so we wonder, why isn't God doing this, or why isn't God answering my prayer, or why isn't God doing this? And it's very simply because our life is too filled up with too much stuff, and there's no room for God to work. And that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit today. Your life can be filled up with all kinds of things. It can be filled up with busyness. It can be filled up with activities. It can be filled up with fear. It can be filled up with envy. It can be filled up with pride. It can be filled up with any number of things that's constantly on your mind that doesn't give room for the Holy Spirit to work. And so I want to talk to you today about cleaning out the room of your house, cleaning out this area of your mind, will, and emotions, so that God can come into your life and do what He wants to do. It can also be filled with self. We can be filled with self-centeredness, and everything we want, that's what we want, that's what we do. And those things do not allow God to come into our life. We're just plain too busy. A little while back, my wife came into my office. She said, "There's too much stuff in here. We got to do something about this." And for several years, I was able to keep her out of there, and I never had the problem. But she got in there one day, and she said, "We got to move some of this stuff out of here." And so we started taking things apart and moving stuff out and putting things in the basement and getting rid of a few things. And after it was all over, I said, "You know, this looks a lot better than it did before. And I think I can have more peace in here, and I can relax better now because I got a lot of this stuff out of here." And that's exactly what God wants us to do with our life. Now, you're not going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ unless you make room for God. So many times I've talked about the birth of Christ, and it always said, you know, you hear this, there wasn't any room for him in the inn. Well, there probably wasn't any room for him in the inn, but the point was, somebody in the inn has to say, I'll give you my room. Are you listening? I'll give you my room, Lord. Come on in and stay here in this room. And that's exactly what we have to do. And we have to do this on a daily basis. It's a battle. The Christian life is a battle. You might, a lost person many times don't have a lot of battles because there's no battle. God's not there. He's not knocking on anything. God, you know. And so the point is here, we have to make up our mind. And of course, we've been talking about this. There's three words that's very important. Repent, rebuke, and replace. Those three words. Repent is coming humbly to God and say, God, I want you to be my life. It's not I want you to come into my life and take a little room. It's I want you to be my life. And a lot of times when we get saved, when we invite Christ in, I think we just get the idea we're just going to build a little room onto our house. And we'll put God in there, and when we need God, we'll open the door and ask Him whatever we want. And that's not the way it is. He wants the whole house. And so we have to start cleaning it out. We have to start making room. We have to, if you've been listening lately, get rid of the giants in the land. And we have to clear that land and start allowing God to start planting things in our life that He wants to plant and things that He wants to do. And so after we clean the room out, we got to replace it with the things of God. It doesn't do any good to clean out the garage if you leave the car in the driveway. It's still not being used for what God called it to be used for. So you clean out the garage, you put the car in, you close the door, and then it's being used for what God had you build that garage for in the first place. So we have to make room. Most of the stuff we have in our life are things that are opposed to God. They're opposed to God. And so that's why God cannot do in our life what He really wants to do. Now, there are many people, even Christians, that believe that everything that happens in life is because of physical circumstances. But if you study the Bible, you will find out there's a spiritual thing around all of us. In fact, God is spirit. He lives in a spiritual realm. And we live in a physical realm, but God wants us to bring the supernatural, the spiritual, into the physical and start allowing Him to do what He wants to do. Now, we have to realize there's a spiritual realm around everything. When we go to be with Jesus, it's going to be a spiritual realm. It'll be physical in His eyes, but it'll be spiritual in ours. Now, every single day, there is a battle for your heart and your soul. Every single day. Not just on Sunday. Some people say, well, I'll battle with the enemy on Sunday and the rest of the week, I'll just do what I want to. Well, it doesn't work that way. Now, I always say every single day, you have to either open door number one or door number two. There's only two doors. Every single day, you have to decide what door you're going to open. It's not like on TV, they got three doors. No, there's just two. And these two doors are very simply this. These two doors are, you're either going to open the door of God or you're going to open the door of the enemy. There's no other way to do this. Now, I want you to understand what these doors are. Every single day, God is trying to draw us to Himself and His righteousness. This is door number one. He's trying to influence us to live consistently with Him. Now, this happens every day. There's this battle. And the reason he wants us to open the door of our life to him is very simply because he wants to complete the assignment in us that he created us for in the first place. So we have an assignment. And there's no such thing as just I'm going to go float through the day and whatever happens, happens, because that will not allow God to do what he wants to do. Now, each day Satan is also trying to steal your heart and soul away from the things of God. So you have this battle. I don't care if you're in your car, you're in your house, you're at work, wherever you are, this battle is going on constantly. Now, Satan is trying to pour into your soul all the trash and the garbage he can possibly pour it in so that you will not have room for God in your life. And there's a million things in this world to fill up your garage with and fill up your soul with. And that's what we're talking about. And I want to show you where it says this battle's going on. Look in John chapter 10 and verse 10. If you're out there, say amen. All right. I'm trying to tell you what life is all about. Don't come down to the end of your life and decide, you know, I've just been working in the wrong door. You know, and God doesn't want you to do that. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says this. The thief comes not to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now there's the two doors right there in that verse. First one is door number two. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So everything that's stealing and killing and destroying in your life is door number two. It's the enemy. He's called Satan. Door number one, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. That's door number one. That's the door of God. And so you have to decide every single day what door you're going to open and you're going to make room for and you're going to live in. Satan is against the Lord. He's against his kingdom. He's against everything of God. And there's a million things in this world that's against God. Now, we often lose this battle because we don't understand that we have to make choices about what we think, we have to make choices about what we say, and we have to make choices about what we do. You have to do that every single day. Because if you don't make choices, you've made some, and usually it's not God. You have to make deliberate choices to the things of God. And that's what we're talking about here. You have to make choices about what you think about. You can control what you think about. Your mind controls your actions and your words. So you have to determine what you're going to think about on a daily basis. Whether it's door number one, whether it's door number two. The words you say plant seeds in your life. Words are seeds. The words you say are either door number one or door number two. Our actions, there's consequences, good and bad, for every action you take all day long. And it's either door number one or door number two. We have to, in other words, God said, we have to be responsible for what we think, what we say, and what we do. Because that will determine what is going to work in your life. These three things, thoughts, words, and actions. Now, whether we're going to release these things to God in his blessing, his encouragement, and preparing us for eternity, or we're going to be living to the enemy. Now, look in Romans 6, 16. I want you to look there quickly. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. And here's what it says. Know you not? In other words, God said, you should know this information. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, door number two, or whether of obedience unto righteousness, door number one. There it is, right there. You have to, he said, you need to know this, that is what, who you yield yourself to on a daily basis is going to determine your thoughts, your words, and your actions. It's going to determine where you're living. If you're lost, there's no battle, because it's the world, the flesh, and the devil against you. It's three against one, and you lose. Are you listening? Lost people lose. There's no way they can win, because it's the world, the flesh, and the devil against them, and so they're going to lose. Christians, actually, first you have to be serious about following Christ. I said, take Christ seriously. Take the Bible seriously. You see. So you faithfully you do the things, you know, we do. Faithfully attend church. You confess your sin. You forsake it. You tithe. You remove the giants from your life. And then you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit on your side, plus you see, against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you win. I'm telling you how to be a winner in this life. It's every day, what door do you open, you see? And I'm going to get fairly tough before this thing's over. Now listen, your will is going to control what door you open. You have to make choices. Somebody says, I don't like to make choices. You have to make choices. Your choices will determine your eternity, you see. So you have to make them. Now, you've heard this before, but go to Joshua 24, 15. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Try not to go too long today, but this is important. Well, let's go to verse 13. Go to Joshua 24, 13. I want you to see what God says about this whole thing. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities for which you built not, and you dwell in them, and the vineyards and the olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. In other words, God said, I've given you a spirit, soul, and body. You didn't have anything to do with it. God said, I've given this to you. It's the land of your life. You have to make a decision what you're going to do with it, and there will be an accounting at the end. What you did with these things, you didn't have anything to do with it. I put you on this earth. He said, I'm giving you the land of your life for which you did not labor, you see. Then he says, now therefore, verse 14, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Fear the Lord, door number one. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, that's door number two in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you're going to serve. There it is. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. You didn't have anything to do with being here, but you got a whole lot to do with where you end up at the end. Amen? And it says, whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the river, that's before you got saved, and the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we're going to open door number one the rest of our life. Are you listening to me? I don't care what the world's doing. I don't care how exciting it is. I don't care how exciting sin is for a season, you see. I'm going to choose the way I'm going to live. It's sad the way some people end up. It really is. They haven't got a clue, you see. Even some Christians don't have a clue. Somebody said, you know, somebody asked him this question about, you know, in heaven. Isn't everybody just going to go to heaven and just have a great time? The answer is no. The church has somehow given people the idea that they're going to go to heaven and everything's just going to be a big party and everything's going to be wonderful with Jesus. It depends on your choices here. If you don't learn it here, you're going to have to learn it there and miss out on some things. Are you listening to me? You're just not going to get saved and everything's going to be wonderful. That isn't what the Bible says. You have to choose to believe in God's Word. There's no battle for unfaithful Christians. They don't have a battle. If you're having a battle, you ought to be, hallelujah, praise God. I must be seeking to Jesus because there's a battle going on. If there's no battle, get saved. You see, that's the issue. I don't know. That's just amazing sometimes. Go to James 4:7. I'm on a roll, look out. Who knows what's going to happen next? Hallelujah. James 4:7. Here it is, the same battle. It's all over the Bible. If you're not in one, you're not part of it. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. You have to make a decision to do it. God's not going to make you come to Him. Come on. You have to receive Christ. God, you can't get saved unless you come to God. He's already come to you on the cross of Calvary. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, door number two, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you, door number one. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded people are the ones that stand in front of the door and put a hand on both doorknobs. Are you listening to me? That's double-mindedness, and you end up nowhere, you see. And God doesn't want us to be that way. He didn't want us double-minded. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you, it says. If you're passive, refuse to resist him, the battle continues and you lose. I didn't say you're going to hell. I just said you lost the battle of life. So you begin to understand this, begin to come into the Lord, that Satan will flee, God's power will come in, and we're in a spiritual battle. Go to Ephesians 6:10. The Bible just constantly talks about this. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, door number one. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that's door number two. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against people. You're wrestling against demonic powers, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There it is. You can't ignore it. Somebody says, I don't want to hear about it. You're involved in it anyway. So take on the whole armor of God. You'll be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Have your loins girded about with truth. Know the Word of God. Have a breastplate of righteousness. Be so thankful to God because what He did on the cross of Calvary every single day. You see, you can look at the world or you can look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Both of them are going to take you somewhere. You see, and that's what we're talking about here. God doesn't want double-minded people. And you go on feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, every time you get an opportunity, you're willing and ready to share Jesus Christ with some person. Above all, take the shield of faith. And that very simply means you get faith by hearing the Word of God. And faith is how God operates in your soul. And it goes on to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. You see, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's identifying with Jesus, praying always in the Spirit. We're wrestling against demonic powers. You're not wrestling against people. You're wrestling against demonic powers. Don't get mad at people. Get upset with the powers behind them. Our fight isn't with people. The spiritual forces that are influencing people are the ones that we're doing battle with. The devil's busy influencing people every single day. Now, there's a whole bunch of people that believe all the demons are over in the Philippines. There's probably a few over there, right, Teresa? Yes. But I'm going to tell you, they're right here in this country, right here in your backyard. I mean, come on. They're everywhere in America. They're all over the place. You got to have the mindset of God. It's not the person, who's sitting next to you at work. That's not your enemy. Your enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Come on. You see, we get mad at people, and we're mad at the wrong ones. You see, it's not your spouse. You thought it was. Your spouse comes against you. It's not her or him. It's the devil that wants to mess up your spiritual life. Fight him by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see. So we got to respond the way God does. Jesus didn't get mad at people other than the Pharisees. And that's because they were religious and messing everybody up. You see. And so there it is. You got to look beyond the person. You got to look beyond the personalities. Good friends can come against you. And it can be the devil. Are you listening to me? Your family can come against you. But it's the devil. You got to come against them, not against people. Don't get bitter and all that stuff against people. I want to show you in the place in the Bible where God used Peter and the devil used Peter all within a few short period of time. You can be used for the devil. Are you listening? If you give in to him, open his door, use his words, act like him, do with these things. I don't care if you're a Christian. You can be used of the devil. Look at Matthew 16:16. I'm trying to hurry here so not to take too much time. But the point is, I want to get this point across. You and I can be used of the devil. You see. Matthew 16:16. Somebody was asking who Jesus was. And Matthew 16:16, Peter opened door number one and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh, that was cool. Everybody's applauding Peter. Hallelujah, you got it. Jesus said, "You're right on." He was the disciple of Jesus Christ. He was saved. He was going to heaven. And he comes up with door number one, and I mean, it was wonderful. Now go to chapter 16 and verse 22. Jesus starts talking about he's going to have to go to the cross. He's going to die. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be put into the tomb. And he's going to rise again on the third day. Now that's the word of God coming right out of Jesus' mouth. And Peter took him aside and said, "Now wait a minute, God. Wait a minute here. Wait a minute," he said. "Be this far from you, Lord. Be this far from you." So he opened door number two right there in front of Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? Looked him right in the eyeball. The disciple, the great Peter, the one that started churches all over the place, the one that followed Jesus, the one that cut off the servant's ear that came after Jesus, the great hero that said, "You're the Son of the living God, hallelujah." Jesus looked and pointed his finger in his eye and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Don't you think old Peter backed up about 3 feet? Said, "Wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute, wait a minute." God said, every single day, every hour we have a battle, what door are we going to open? Now listen to me carefully. You know, we just sit around and let the devil pick on us, and it's who you yield yourself to. I want you to hear that. Now, real quick, I'm going to run through some things because I want you to get this. Door number two, when you yield yourself to sin, you're serving Satan, who is the author of sin. Door number one, when you yield yourself to obedience to the Lord, you're serving God, who is the author of righteousness. Okay? Now, Romans 6:16, I'm going to get into it and I'll be closing shortly. So hang on there. All right. Okay, we're going to Romans 6:16. I want to do this again. I memorized this verse because I needed it. Are you listening to me? All right. Now, I think I read this a while ago, but we want to do it again. Romans 6:16. Just a second here. Okay. All right, this says, know you not. Now, God says you need to know this and need to understand it, but we're repeating it again. Know you not to whom you yield yourself servants to obey. His servants are you who you obey. He's talking to Christians here. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience to righteousness. Now, this sentence of death doesn't mean you're going to hell. It means that you can serve Satan or you can serve Christ in this life. That's what it says. That's it. This is the spiritual battle. Now, if you break a speeding law out here on Main Street, you can get a ticket. There's consequences to those kind of things. There's consequences to sin. Now, listen to me now. I'm going to get down to it. When we talk negative about somebody else, you not only hurt their feelings, you can loose demonic powers toward them. That's your husband, your wife, whoever it is. Now listen to me. You start gossiping about somebody on the telephone, and every gossip demon in Winnebago County is going to come to your house. Whether you're a Christian or not, we have to be careful about what we think, what we do, and what we say. Because through those three things, we're either inviting the Spirit of God to our house or the spirit of the enemy. I'm talking about Christians. Somehow Christians got this idea, I get saved, I'm going to heaven, I can do anything I want to. Yes, you can, but you can take a lot of demons with you. This is a spiritual battle. It determines whether you're going to do what God wants you to do in this life or not. Now, demons are attracted to open wounds and garbage, just like flies. If you have open wounds and garbage in your life, demons are going to be attracted. If you have unforgiveness in your life, demons are attracted to that. If you harbor grudges for somebody for years, demons are attracted to that. Christians cannot afford to have unforgiveness and grudges in their life, because it attracts the enemy, not the Holy Spirit. You see. It's just like germs coming into open wounds. You have open wounds. You need to get those things closed. We're either going to be releasing the power of God or releasing the power of the devil. Your mouth can do either one. Whoa, I'm trying to make disciples here. You got it? Trying to make disciples. Peter got it mixed up. He was talking about Jesus and blessing God on one side of his mouth, and on the other side, he was encouraging the devil. And James said, that shouldn't be. That should not be. There's consequences to this stuff. Well, you can go to some church where they're just preaching the love of Jesus and everything's wonderful if you want to. But I'm trying to make disciples. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I'm trying to tell you how it is. You see, I'm giving you truth here. When you're talking against somebody else with somebody else, instead of going to them and getting the thing straightened out, it's no different than witchcraft. If you're trying to put bad words on somebody, it's no different than witchcraft. I hope you're listening. You say, well, that person never knows what I said. That hadn't got anything to do with it. You're going to be affected in some way, and most of the time it comes back where? Comes back on us. That's what the Bible says. What goes out's going to come back. You're giving life, life will come back. You're giving death, death will come back. It's just that simple. You say, I didn't know life was this serious. Get serious about the things of God. You see, if I was one of those houses over the Philippines, they'd probably kick me out. You see, I'm trying. I don't know who you want to entertain in your life, but I know who I want to entertain in mine. You understand? I learned this, a lot of this stuff, the hard way. I really did. After I got saved, I wasn't sure if I was full of the devil or full of the Lord. My wife certainly was not. She said, you were a nicer person before you got saved. You know why? I didn't have a battle. You listening to me? I didn't have a battle. Satan didn't pay attention to me. He already had me until I got saved. Then the battle began. So who are we yielding ourselves to? You see. God said these things can never accomplish the things of God. If you're angry, I remember one time I lived in an apartment here in Rockford. And there was a whole bunch of apartments in a row. And one night, it was in the summertime, we had the door open to our apartment. And I heard all this racket outside, and I couldn't figure out what it was. So I go outside, and two doors down, there's a guy standing out on the sidewalk, hollering at the top of his voice, angry at his wife. You could hear him all over the neighborhood. I mean, it sounded like he wanted to kill her. It was that bad. He was angry. He was stomping. He was hollering. He was shouting. At his wife and two kids inside the apartment. Door number two. They got a divorce 1 year later. Is that a surprise? I don't think so. He was speaking this stuff on his wife and on his kids. Whole neighborhood could hear it. His wife came down to us a couple of days later and she said, I don't think we're going to make it. And he just kept it up all through this next year, and all of a sudden they're divorced. It wasn't a surprise. They opened door number two. She became a Christian, incidentally. Interesting enough. Anger, envy, and strife will make you a target for every evil work. Holding grudges, unforgiveness, unbroken family, sins not dealt with, generational curses not broken, and you wonder why you end up in the mess that you're in. You see. We talk about these things. We discuss these things. We talk about how to break these things. You see. You got to confess these things as sin. When those things come out of your mouth, you got to confess that immediately. If you gossip about somebody, you need to get that right immediately. Because you're going to attract those kind of spirits, whatever you have, in your life. You think everybody's against you? The devil's got a demon for everything you could possibly say and do. Are you listening to me? And it's time for Christians to get it together. I'm not picking on anybody, and I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just telling you, you're going to live with whatever you invite in. I suggest Christ. You see, then whatever happens, you're not going to be ashamed when you stand before Jesus Christ when He comes. Let's stand before the Lord.